Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
The Celtics are playing so selfish offensively, they are playing my turn basketball. Kemba comes down. Let me show y'all what I got. I got a crossover to a step back. Then Jason Tatum, oh, you got that, but let me show you what I got in my bag. I got the side step three-point shot. Then all of a sudden, you see Jaylen Brown. Oh, let me show you, I could do something too. I got a one-legged turnaround off the baseline. Defensively, they have lost their identity. Last night, I wanted to call Bam out of the bayou, Bam O'Neal. He had so many dunks, he was just snatching the screws out the rim.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI, and Kendrick Perkins. As Fitzy said last hour, is the gift that just keeps on giving.
He's great. Can't get enough.
He's fantastic.
And by the way, name a lie in anything he just said.
No, he seems to be pretty spot on with a lot of his post-game reactions to what's been going on in the Celtics in particular.
So we asked the question, and I promise you guys who are on the line, we're getting right back to the calls with you, but I asked this question in the last segment about whether they are now goosed and porked. Now, Rich Keefe thinks they're goosed and porked.
Yes.
Optimus Prime thinks they've still got a chance.
I don't know where Fitzy's coming up with that. And then he even... Okay, so Dale, where do you stand on that?
Goosed and porked.
Okay.
Yeah,
because you got a brain. And well, you've been watching the games.
I hear goosed and porked, and I start thinking maybe there's a new kind of turducken we can make. Maybe we'll call it a gork. It's goose and pork. We'll call it a gork.
All right, you can have some gork.
Maybe I'll stuff a goose in a nice little pork roast and call it a gork.
So Kendrick Perkins,
what is this, a turducken? Come on, let's stop.
So Kendrick Perkins on Get Up earlier today was asked the same question I asked you guys. Can the Celtics come back in this series?
I'm not calling it a sweep, but this is dead bird tall grass. The Miami Heat is not going to let up. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the bubble right now. Yes, I'm saying it. The way that he's mixing it up and throwing out those different defensives and the way that he's putting these guys in position offensively to be successful. Think about this. In game one, Greeny, he had 32 assists. Last night in game two, they had 28 assists. They are moving the ball well. They're shooting the three, and they are owning the Celtics in the paint.
Again.
Go on.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Not a lie amongst
them. Yes.
Show me the lie.
Here's what's scary about it is Jimmy Butler hasn't even had to have a crazy game. Nope. He's been let the game come to him. He had some big steals last night, but it was more of let's make sure my other guys are shooting well and they're involved. He had 14 points. And they win a game in which they were down 17 at one point. So that's what's scary to me because let's say there's a game where Dragic or Duncan Robinson doesn't have it. Well, then Jimmy Butler will just do it. And so they don't have an answer for Bam Adebayo. Goran Dragic, they don't seem to have an answer for. And then the rest of their team complements those guys so well, and they just knock down threes. The Celtics gave up a lot of open threes to Toronto in the last series, but Toronto missed them. Marc Gasol was useless. Fred VanVleet had some good games, but look at some of those shooting percentages.
Yep.
Like it wasn't great defense necessarily all the time against the Raptors. It was just they couldn't buy a bucket. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat are making you pay every time.
Every single one of those wins, save for I think maybe their second win, was a nail biter. The Celtics the Celtics Raptors series up to a point. I think
they
it was
had
through
the
game
one,
four.
There was game one they blew them out.
Yeah, they didn't blow them out. They won
they
handily,
won. Yeah,
but
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
At a certain point in the series, there was like a plus-minus point differential of like the Celtics had only outscored them by a point. Like it was a deceivingly tighter series than you would have thought. This right now, is a series the Celtics should be up 2-0 in, and yet Miami's running this town.
The Celtics had the lead for over 26 minutes in yesterday's game. Miami had it for 18, and then the rest of it, that's when the game was tied. So they led for the majority of the game.
Back to the calls with you guys. Jerry's in California. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Hi, I definitely agree with you. They should be up 2-0, and the reason why they're not up 2-0, somebody said it earlier, they're just not mentally as tough as Miami. I think that's indicative of their maturity level right now. But I beckon back to a key moment in Game 1 with 22 seconds left in regulation. Uncharacteristically, Brad Stevens doesn't call a timeout because he's great at signing plays in the end of a game. For whatever reason, he called that high pick and roll with Kimba coming to the free throw line. Jason dribbled the ball for 10 seconds out top, gets the pick and roll situation set up, and then settles for a 3-point 28-footer. And I'm thinking, we're not down. We don't need a 3-pointer. We need you to drive to the basket, get in the paint, get fouled, dish off, get a high percentage shot. That's that mental toughness right there on Jason's part.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting?
And the turnover
too.
Thing is a killer.
That cost him. I mean, you can't lose a quarter by 20 points and then expect, you know, to be, yeah, we'll recover from that. We'll bounce back from that.
Yeah, we'll be good.
Not going to happen. And you know what's kind of interesting when you're talking about the mental toughness and kind of relying on the young guys? You know, if you look at the sort of the history of the league, how many times has there been a team where the best player is 22 and depending on from night to night, it's either Kemba or Jaylen Brown is the second best player, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be Kemba, but at times it's been Jaylen Brown. He's 23. So, yeah, Kemba is the one kind of veteran leader, but he's played in one playoff series prior to this, mm-hmm. and he's had a bunch of choke job games in this. It really is, like, just look at the history of it. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were pretty young when they won their first title, but even then it was like 20. I think Curry was 26, Klay was 24. So you don't see a lot of guys be the number one main guy, or especially when there's two of them that are young, right? Like Tim Duncan was young, but he had David Robinson.
Right.
Kobe was young, but he had Shaq. Like there's just so many examples.
Someone to lead the way and help them grow and take some of the burden off them as well. But I replied to that with this, Rich. If going into last night's game, what if I told you?
Okay.
Heading, knowing the way that game one finished and how piss poor Kemba played. If I told you, Rich, tonight in 34 minutes, Kemba's going to give you 23, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. What would you have said?
Only 3 assists?
Negatron strikes again.
I would have said, and the reality is, nice bounce back game for him. No, really nice bounce back game
for him. And it's in a Celtics win, expecting Tatum to play better.
Right.
Not only put up 21 and not take a shot in the fourth quarter. Who wants to be the guy? Obviously, Marcus Smart does. But he's so busy warring with the coaches and tossing crap around in the locker room afterwards. I think he's legitimately pissed at the fact that the coach is just standing there on the sidelines, hands on hip, like, well, great. We drove all the way to this place, and now they're out of vanilla ice cream and sprinkles. Great.
Just make your shots. Didn't you feel good immediately the first trip down, Kemba Walker drills a three?
Mm-hmm. You thought, okay, here we go.
All right. He was one of nine from three.
Exactly,
last game.
Dale. Tone is set.
Boom.
New night.
Nope.
New night.
And then they just, you know, Duncan Robinson was just Rain Man there, just killing him.
Randall's in Salem. Hey, Randall, how you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. Dale Keith, Optimus Prime. Great addition over there. Love the new name.
Thank you.
I'm going to try and make it stick with you when I can. But I got two words, Gordon Hayward and bouncing off what the last caller said a couple calls ago about the zone when Marcus Smart was playing towards the foul line on offense. Mm-hmm. You put Gordon Hayward there, I think that's extraordinarily better. Smart didn't look comfortable in that spot that you guys were saying. He was passing out. He would have a shot. I think Gordon would play that role significantly better. And if he does come back and we win four straight, like I'm predicting, that changes his full sprint.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
That has taken Fitzy's Optimus Prime to the
There's my guy.
Next level.
Wow.
How much would that make everyone forget about his 2 years before?
Oh, 100%. That would all disappear. That would change the game for Gordon Hayward. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Gordon, and you know what, Randall? I'll tell you this. Appreciate the call, guy.
We haven't seen him play in a month. Mm-hmm. By the way,
Autobots roll out.
Yes,
Gordon Hayward, transform and roll out
into a healthy
player.
He
hasn't played since August 17th. That's when he sprained his ankle. It's been
a month and a day.
It's been actually over a month.
Over a month.
It's been over the 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks.
Yeah,
this is what will make the difference.
Was he lighting the world on fire
when he was playing? Optimist. He had some good nights. It wasn't lighting the world on fire. You know, he was no Duncan Robinson from three, but actually he was hitting his shots. He looked pretty, all things said, all things being equal, which they aren't, so it doesn't matter.
No.
He actually looked pretty darn good. I'll say this. If there's anyone who would love to find a way to restore the prominence of their name or could actually start, like, etching his name in the legendary stone of Boston sports, Gordon Hayward turning things around for the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
book it.
That would be it. Larry's in Newburyport. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, okay.
I want to make three points. First one is on the Kemba blocking foul towards the end of the game. Van Gundy clearly said that was a charge. Why didn't Brad Stevens challenge that? That's number one.
Because he's asleep.
Right. He hasn't been using his challenges, really. Number two. When Jimmy Butler stole the ball towards the end of the game,
yep.
He clearly went out of bounds. You can't go out of bounds and come back in, can you?
Yeah, if you reestablish yourself back in there, you
can. And he clearly reestablished himself back
in. Yeah, you're right. It's an NFL rule, right? When you're out, you can't be the first one to come back in and touch the ball. But in basketball, as long as your both feet are in, you're good.
Really? Okay. I didn't think that was true. I didn't think you could steal a ball and come back, go out of bounds and come back in. The third one is...
three.
Robert Williams didn't play one minute, Williams. You know,
right.
The center?
Yeah.
He didn't play 1 minute in the game. Why didn't you put him on BAM?
Yeah, it's not the series for him. I feel like BAM's like a little bit too athletic, but the way he was getting abused, I mean, I don't see why not.
And the last one is, what has taken Gordon Hayward so long to come back when the Toronto player had injured his ankle? And Gordon Hayward's ankle is not broken.
You can't do the injury comparison.
Larry, actually, Larry.
About? It's not broken.
Larry,
how do you know how bad his injury is, Larry?
Larry, a
it's
grade three
a
sprain. A most
a month.
Hold tight, Larry. I'm with you, man. But I'll tell you straight up.
It shouldn't be taking this long.
Most doctors will tell you you would be better off breaking your ankle than having a grade three sprain. It's a nightmare.
Well, how did the Toronto guy get back in the next
Because it wasn't the
game?
Same thing.
Yeah, I don't think they're all the same. Not
no,
all ankle injuries are the same.
It was a sprain. It wasn't a break.
No,
but how bad
grades.
Was the sprain? A grade three sprain is terrible.
It's, they say four
well,
to six
sorry.
Weeks minimum.
A month is way too much.
No, Larry, he's back sooner than he was supposed to be, Larry.
There was a list of players who had it, and they all missed a combined, like, what was it, Dale? Like
40-something
games?
40 games. Now, the idea, well, the other guy came back in 2 weeks. How come this? I hate that crap. Like, all of a sudden, Larry's medical degree from What's the Matter You shows him that, hey, you know, he could be playing. He's just jaking it here. Nobody, those of us sitting here where we are,
mm-hmm.
making medical diagnoses of guys who are down in the bubble,
mm-hmm.
just sounds ridiculous.
Listen, I'm no doctor or anything like that.
Exactly right.
Nor did I ever play one on television. But I will tell you, as somebody who got a grade three sprain playing a pickup game in
here
college.
Here we go.
Tell us about your ankle sprains from 617.
Actually, it's still terrible.
Still hurts.
Yeah, it's still
bothering. I noticed you limping around the hallways
25
here.
Years later, Dale, not the same as I used to be.
Oh.
It does. And when it happened, it sounded like you opened a whole box of Ronzoni and just like the whole box. Like,
I've had two and I'm fine. Relax.
Shime actually recovered
Shime,
better.
You've had two grade three sprains?
One grade three sprain and then one just really bad sprain.
Okay.
That's why it's hard
to
tuba was too heavy.
Are you Dan or Dave from the famous Reebok commercial? I'm sorry.
No,
I just,
neither.
You know, Dave at least got the bronze.
It's pretty brutal.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The Playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us at 1 o'clock. Dale and Keefe with Optimus Prime, and it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
We suddenly realized during the break, well, John realized that we missed an opportunity to have all Seattle music rejoiners for this show. So we're making up for it and doing it the rest of the way. Of course, as near as we can tell, that's basically three bands, right?
Oh, no, more than that.
Well, that's what the ones that John likes. It's down to three.
Oh, okay. You just have to play the single soundtrack the rest of the way, and you're good.
Just play Macklemore after every break.
We're not going to do Macklemore.
Maybe Macklemore.
Why not?
We're not. There's too much
great.
Pearl Jam
Best
and Nirvana to get
Wilson.
Through.
What about Soundgarden?
That Russell Wilson
and
commercial?
That was the third.
What about Alice in Chains? What do you mean,
Oh,
you're out of your mind.
Kind of
Ariana Grande?
kind of great, actually.
Some would argue they're better than all of them.
Yeah. Alice in Chains, yeah. kind of trash.
You want to check that take somewhere.
Yeah.
That
is
a, we're take that take, roll it right up.
We need it right now.
Shine it up.
That's a rough take.
All right, so the Patriots travel to Seattle. They actually travel this afternoon. They will get there, you know, obviously early this evening, Seattle time. I was reading this. We talked a little bit with Jason McCourty about it. Other than their traveling party, they can't come in contact with anybody else. They can't go to the front desk. They can't go to the little convenience shop and buy a new tube of toothpaste. They're not allowed to do that. They can go to their rooms and their meeting rooms and whatever dinner room they have set up there, and that's it. And that's just the way things are in the NFL. But they get ready for a game on Sunday night, which, as near as anybody can tell right now, fellas, they will still be able to play it, even though the Mariners have moved their games through the weekend as well, just to get the hell out of the bad air conditioning out there.
Well, so I figure, though, as a professional football team, you probably have somebody who can go down to the front desk and
get
you a tiny toothpaste. And, Dale, you're not missing much if you go all the way to Seattle and don't go down to Pike's Place Market and, like, have someone throw the fish out.
Hey, I like that. Fish. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I'll chop it with a sword. No problem.
One of the best meals I've ever had there.
I don't think they let you do that there.
Really oh, we're distancing now. Does the fish have a mask on?
I hope he does.
I hope he does, too.
I hope he does. Yeah, I'm less worried about the air quality or the hotel arrangement as I am Russell Wilson,
who might make it a little tough. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome.
Super good at football and 2-0 against the Pats in the regular season.
Yeah, good point. He had a miscue there in the postseason.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. It didn't go well for him, but it's a good team. I don't think they're like this world beater team or anything like that, but they are a really good team. I think they're better than you
by a pretty fair amount.
They're better than the Patriots. They're absolutely better than the Patriots. They got a couple of real good defensive players. Their skill position guys, it's kind of an interesting group because I wonder how much of it is Russell Wilson. Like, if Tyler Lockett and – who I like, but if Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf played with a lesser quarterback, would we think they're as good? Is this a Russell Wilson thing?
Okay, let me grab a top backup. Let's put Chase Daniel. Let's put Matt Moore, who filled in for Mahomes last season. Let's put RG3 under center with this exact same defense and these skill players. What kind of team is this?
Horrible. They don't even
– Horrible?
Yeah.
You think this entire team is based off of Russell Wilson?
I do. Russell Wilson.
Pretty much.
Russell Wilson is 9 or 10 wins himself, and then if the team around him is a little bit better, then you're talking about more than that.
When Brady had inferior weapons here, still a 10-12 win team because he was Tom freaking Brady.
Yes, he could will you to those wins, I understand, but I think you're underestimating some of the players they have. I mean, is this really just like, is this Mr. Unlimited and a Pete Carroll scheme?
Do you think Tom Brady would have thrown to DK Metcalf last year?
Yes.
I don't.
Because DK Metcalf would have taken his shirt off, flashed his 8-pack, and just scared the crap.
No, I mean, that's overstating it. He would have thrown to him, but I wonder, like, if he dropped the pass, would he have been like, all right, I'm done with you?
Tom would have asked him to do a TB12 commercial before he actually threw him 10 footballs.
Ooh, right, nice guys, chime.
You know what the nice thing is, guys? Chime. I don't want to even remember the stink of last season because I'm so high on the positivity. Here's Optimus Prime once again.
Optimus Prime's back. Dual sports.
I not only do I not want to go back to 2019, I think both of you, as you sit here and you loud Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, a man who, by the way, you say is one of the greatest players ever, has received the same number of MVP votes as I've had beers so far today.
Okay. Really? Is that true, though?
Mr. Unlimited.
Two? But Peter King.
Zero. He's great.
Peter King discussed this yesterday, and he's right. Unlike the other sports, you get one MVP vote. Who's your MVP? You get one vote. Mm-hmm. So he could have been the second best choice for everybody for the last 8 years, and he wouldn't get votes.
But as Peter pointed out last year, you couldn't not vote for Lamar Jackson. You had to.
Same could be said about the Patrick Mahomes year. Same could be said about one or two of the Tom Brady years. There's been a lot of guys that are either unanimous or damn near close to unanimous.
Okay.
And so that's the reason why I wouldn't use the MVP thing. I think he is the NFC version of Brady, minus the pile of rings.
Oh, you mean Tom Brady, who got an MVP vote last year when Russell Wilson outplayed the pants off of him and got zero?
So that's also, you blame the voters for that. But Russell Wilson's never had a losing record in his career, and he's had some great defenses.
Oh, he's awesome.
Some middle defenses, some not so good defenses. He's great. He's the best player to me in the NFC. I still think Mahomes is the best player in the league, but I think Wilson is too. And there's an argument to be made.
Yes.
You know, if you give Wilson Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and you know, Andy Reid's offense, then who knows what kind of numbers he put
he
up.
He might be even better, but yeah. I think not only are you over Russell Wilson's great, he will keep them in every game. One thing you're never going to hear is, "Oh man, the Seahawks got blown out again." They'll have a couple of, you know, soul punch losses every now and again, sure, because that's just the way things go with Seattle. But I think at the same time that you're overestimating Russell Wilson and underestimating the quality of his team, doesn't sound like anyone here is talking about the fact that the Patriots looked pretty good last week and that Cam Newton is healthy and that this team has more than a puncher's chance of going in there and not just not getting blown out, but actually making a game of this.
All right, so Optimus Prime again. Yes. How many points do you guys think the Patriots are going to need to put up to beat Seattle?
24.
Okay, minimum.
30.
They might have to put up more.
I got 23. I have 20. My prediction for final score, spoiler alert, I think the Seahawks will win. It's okay. I don't have to wait till 2 o'clock to do this because I published it on WEEI.com already last week.
Go ahead and take a last week.
Well, that was last week's call.
I predicted every game already.
I did. Actually, I went through all 16 games.
Good.
Gave you a 10-6 record. Mm-hmm. The score, the way it would play out. Russell Wilson will lead the Seahawks, to a game-winning drive. Break hearts in New England somewhere around 11:27 p.m. Sunday night.
And be a late one.
Seahawks 23,
yeah.
Patriots 20. That's why I say they need 24 points or more to pull off the shocker.
But they
shocker.
Won't be able to. All right, so you're in reality.
I'm being real. Yes,
you also have them covering, by the way.
I dabble in reality every now and again.
Covering, I think.
I don't find it very comforting.
What, that you're...
Reality.
Reality.
Yes, because if I lived in reality...
Reattle,
that's the reality of Seattle.
It's Chaz.
It's Chaz. It's in Reattle. If I lived in reality, I would remember
Optimus
that
Prime lives in Reattle.
That's right. That's Optimus Prime's new home planet, since Cybertron is nothing more than an exploded pile of Radio Shack components.
Now, you've obviously built into your prediction here the fact that Julian Edelman has been limited in practice this week.
He's Mr. Limited.
some sort of knee issue going on here.
Uh-huh.
And he is your best wide receiver. You're going to have to throw
Edelman
the ball.
Edelman and Harry are both limited.
Yeah. Man, I can't. First of all, They threw to a tight end last week. Yeah, he's Mr. Limited.
Straight up limited.
He's straight up limited.
So Ryan Izzo will have another catch.
This week. No, the legend of Dalton Keene will start being told this
week. Is he going to play?
He is fully healthy. He will play this week.
All right.
Dalton Keene is off the injury report.
Devin Asiasi?
Limited.
Yeah, I would say below. He's more than limited.
Wiggs said he was going to have 80 catches, so he better start catching
better
some
get
balls.
On it
well,
here.
Peter King also said Josh Uche would be the defensive rookie.
Oh,
of the year.
And now he's now in
suddenly
addition
hurt.
To a healthy scratch last week.
Now he's hurt.
Now he's hurt. So he's
limited.
So that will help his.
You can count
feelings.
On him not playing this week. Seattle's going to run the ball a lot because obviously it's difficult to pass against the Patriots, and I feel like the Seahawks will have a lot of luck trying to use quickness and deceit. And Russell Wilson obviously moves pretty well pre and post snap. He's going to be a handful for. I wouldn't be surprised. How about this? Chime. See if there's a prop on this one. Thanks very much. Too sweet. Oh, and a steak sandwich. Thanks.
Okay, Glenn.
Chime. What do you think? I think Russell Wilson will have more rushing yards than Cam Newton this Sunday.
I disagree
with that.
What?
I disagree. I said I disagree with it.
He doesn't need to.
That I don't agree with you.
But that was more surprise than I didn't hear you.
I think Carson's going to run the ball more. Maybe even Hyde runs the ball more.
Chris Carson could run for 150 yards.
But hopefully fumble twice.
You know
and
what?
Keep the
I'm
Patriots
not,
in the
not,
game.
I'm not betting with you anymore.
Because Carson drops the ball a lot. That's
Taking
what you
my
need
Venmo
to hope for.
Going home. He does.
That's what
He'll
you
put
need.
The ball
you
in the ground.
You need him to fumble. That's their best chance in this one.
I just, when I look at it, and I don't think Pete Carroll was necessarily, you know, slipping a little something in to have Bill Belichick worry about stuff that wasn't going to happen. I think he meant it. We need to run the ball more. I think he's going to start Sunday night. And I think that the Patriots, let's be honest, we think they're going to be chasing the score most of the night anyway, which means they're going to have to throw more. And I'm back to where I was all of last year and so far through one game of this year. To who?
Yeah, they got nowhere to throw to.
What about the backs?
James White.
Last week, 50% of Russell Wilson's touchdown passes went to back.
Yeah.
Your guy Rex Burkhead going to get a lot of targets this week?
Wait till you see what Rex Burkhead does this week.
He'll be
last
hurt the second
week. Last week. Six Patriots running backs with 20 yards or more.
Give me J.J. Taylor. All night long,
He can literally disappear under the legs of some of the
don't
offensive
you guys
linemen.
Feel, again, there's two different extremes going into the season. Fitzy and I think they're more of a 10-6 team. There are also people out there that think they're a 6-10 team. Talking about the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So if they lose to the Seahawks, I think everybody is still in the same spot because most people said 1-1 after the first two games.
They were going to beat the Dolphins. They were going to lose to Seattle. And
however, if they beat Seattle,
oh,
expectations change dramatically around here. I don't go crazy.
We're
going to be doing shows without pants for the next 6 weeks. That's a promise.
That was a
Fitzy already is.
That was that was a drastic escalate. Like that escalated quickly,
real quickly.
Yeah.
Well, if they beat Seattle in Seattle, and I know there's no fans or whatever, but still, that's a good team.
Oh, and what's going to be more insufferable on Sunday? Like the only thing worse than Celtics Twitter last night will be Seattle social media for the hour and a half leading up to kickoff, because it's just going to be like, the 12 is there with you in spirit.
Oh,
the 12th man is there. This one's for the 12. He's with all of us tonight. Shut up.
Hate the 12.
I hope you choke on a $7 cup of coffee.
Really?
You hope you hope that.
Man, he's wished death on people already.
Not only can it burn you, you can choke on it now.
That's right. When that car finishes crashing through the bubble into Jay Crowder, you can drive it right on out to the clink and knock over a couple. Seattle. You can drive it right up to Seattle. I'm high on this Pats team to begin with. I loved what I saw last week. I do understand it was against a juvie squad. It was against a team that probably plays pickup games in Randolph in the form of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
But we'll see Sunday. This is the perfect test for these Patriots to go on the road,
agreed,
no fans, and see how their run game holds up against a higher than average defense. And can you start to throw the ball when you know they have adequate corners and one good safety? Let's see.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness Week in Review at 12:30. The Playmaker Michael Irvin at 1. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
I hate to break this next tidbit here to Optimus Prime because he might not like some of these numbers.
All right, Dale, tid me.
While the Patriots have had their success against the Seattle Seahawks and their defenses over the years, Cam Newton has not. Cam Newton in his career has played 6 regular season games against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
He's 1-5.
Okay.
He's completed 58% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 6.7 yards per attempt. He's had issues against this Seattle, not just the team, but their style of defense in the past. Mm-hmm. Why do we think that'll be different on Sunday night?
He's 1-1 in the playoffs against them as well, and those games seem to count just a little bit more. So
he's got a new offensive coordinator.
He's got
a new head coach, right? This isn't Ron Rivera going into Seattle. It's Bill Belichick going into Seattle. So, and also, it's not like Cam Newton was 1-5 surrounded by the greatest offensive weapons in the world, right?
But not like he's surrounded by now.
No, but I'm saying like that's somewhat equal,
right,
too. Like I think he's used to that, but now you just improve the coaching. Both the head coach is better, the offensive coordinator is better, and I would say off the top of my head, the defense is better. Maybe not every single year that he was there in Carolina, but I would say most years.
This
I'll
defense?
This, yes.
His linebacking core in Carolina was elite for years.
Kuechly
and Thomas Davis, who played through like that Frankenstein arm rebuild in a Super Bowl, was great.
He had Josh Norman for a couple years,
who was really and good. He had Coney Ealy was likely going to be the MVP of Super Bowl 2015 had Cam been able to cross the goal line more than a lot of time.
So I wouldn't say every single year it was better, but right now I think overall, and you know we can go through all the games that he played against Seattle.
Sure.
So I think things are a little bit different. I feel a little bit better about it. And Seattle's defense isn't as good now as it was probably for some of those losses.
Absolutely true.
Right?
Now, Dale, which do you think? Because I think this is truly the most fascinating element. I think the Pats defense, again, you've heard me loud and praise and just get downright romantical about the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the ends can continue to attack the quarterback the way they did last week because, you know, Winovich and Anthony Jennings, Simon, and especially Derek Rivers looked pretty spry and they were quick and aggressive last week. Do the Seahawks change their approach and go from the pass-heavy attack last week to more run-centric, or will we see the Patriots get away from the run-centric offense last week more into the passing? Like, who changes their identity more this week?
Seattle.
Yeah, I think Seattle does because I think they're a little bit more equipped to do so.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots are equipped to suddenly become pass-happy.
Yeah, and I think it's even got less to do with Cam than it does just the guys he's throwing to.
Right.
You know, I think that's the biggest problem, whereas I think you could see a game where Chris Carson gets 20 carries and Hyde gets 10 or something like that, mm-hmm, if they wanted to.
Yeah, it's a pretty good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and so I think they could do that, whereas last week they decided, nope, we're just going to throw it. We look at the secondary from Atlanta versus the secondary of the Patriots. Of course you're going to want to throw it against them.
Yeah, but your boy Shime Time with the stat of the week.
Last week when the Seahawks took on the Falcons, Russell Wilson, on all 38 of his passes,
all 38,
were not in a tight window, which means that there was not a cornerback within a yard of any receiver he targeted the entire game.
Wow. Uncontested.
So they're terrible. The Falcons,
the Falcons secondary might be the worst secondary I have ever
so
seen.
So start Dak the Prescott, worst. Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb.
Stack them all.
Yeah. Okay. Amari Cooper. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would start all of them then some.
And you're not going to be able to do that against this Patriots.
But I also
secondary.
Think Pete Carroll.
Thank you.
I think Pete Carroll's a good coach, and I also think that
great gum chewer.
I think he's a good gum chewer. He's younger than he looks. But he acts younger than his age.
He's pumped and jacked.
He's all of those things. But I think one of the reasons why Bill Belichick likes Pete Carroll, and I think there's a theme with the coaches that Bill likes around the league, it's the guys that don't just do the same thing over and over and over and over again and are willing to, this team is really good against the pass, so we won't try to pass it all the time. Even though we just threw for, Russell Wilson had a near perfect game in week one. Well, the opponent now is much different.
Yeah, don't we have a Schottenheimer calling the plays now in Seattle, though? I believe.
Oh,
we do.
Do we?
Yes, I believe we do.
But I still think
Brian. Yes.
When you have Russell Wilson,
advantage
though,
Patriots,
and you have a run game last year. What did Carson finish? Top 10 in the league in rushing a year ago. So
yeah.
I mean, they want to run it more. They just didn't need to last week. So against the Patriots, if you were going to try to beat the Patriots, that's one way to do it.
But don't you think also by that very same token, then they may face a defense that may be more inviting to throw the ball early because Seattle's thinking like, six guys with 20 yards or more. Cam Newton, 15 rushes, almost 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, we might have to start bringing some people down the box. Or do they say like, okay, run it on us because we're not going to let you beat us deep, even though we don't think you have anyone that can beat us deep.
No, if I'm Seattle, I go 8
dare
in the
to
box.
Throw?
Yeah,
let's
I go 8 in the box, and then I go single cover everybody.
If you're the Patriots, the biggest worry is Jamal Adams gets a huge hit on Cam Newton early in this game.
That could happen. Good check.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm Jamal Adams, I'm worrying about Michael Onwenu making me a Waffle House stack because boy was out there mashing last
if
week.
If I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field.
That man was absolutely destroying people.
No, I
don't have the stomach for that on Sunday night.
Listen, that Patriots offensive line, they are unheralded. They are highly motivated. They looked good. Highest graded unit of any unit in the NFL last week, your Patriots offensive line.
I don't
put that in your pipe and smoke
week,
it in the basement, Dale.
Monday and Wednesday so far.
All right. Well, I mentioned it on Friday as well.
Good.
So there. Least optimist Prime is consistent.
He sure is.
6-1
and yet he has the Patriots losing.
But not by as many as everybody else.
No, that's true. He's got them covering, which is pretty sneaky of him.
How much do the rest of you have them losing by?
I don't know.
How much do the rest of you have them losing
eight?
By?
10.
What? 10?
10.
32-24.
Turn in your card now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What card?
Fitzy, I've got half a unit on the Patriots covering as well.
Thank you. Half a unit.
Half a unit.
Wow.
What are you doing with the other half?
Salary?
The other half won on the Carolina Panthers, actually, unfortunately.
Oh. Did it really?
Did, yeah.
They can't all be winners.
Wow, it's burn John in. No, they can't.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Your Boston Celtics are 0-2 after another frustrating night in the bubble in Orlando. We'll talk about them when we come back. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy. Keefe for Madness Week in Review at the bottom of the hour here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.